Thank you for joining us for this sermon podcast from First Baptist Church at the Fields. I'm Dr. Brent Taylor, and we invite you to join us each week in worship. I am praying for you and trusting God will use this message to encourage your faith and strengthen your walk with Him. Have you ever known someone or something that goes global? I have a friend who started a company. And the idea that he had was a great idea, and the company was a tremendous success. And so the company then sold to a larger company, and that idea that just began one day in his brain became something that helps people literally around the entire world. Sometimes it's not as complex as a business idea like that. Sometimes it's a video. You know, a video at times will go viral, we say. Or you might have a person who's just minding their own business, not doing anything special necessarily, but they are at a ball game or out in public and they do something that's kind of strange or they make a face or whatever, and then all of a sudden they become a meme that everybody sees showing up on their phone. And then, of course, we know about the other kind of viruses that go viral and they become pandemics. There are some things that stay local and will always stay local, and there are some things that go global. Well, today we're going to think about the global work of our Savior, but we're going to think about it even before Jesus was born on the earth, because what started in Bethlehem existed eternally before. And what happened on the cross there on Calvary was not an afterthought. It wasn't a plan, you know, plan B or C. It was all part of God's divine plan from the beginning. A plan that was birthed in the heart of God was for God's people, and it's a plan that's gone viral. We continue our series, The Gospel According to Isaiah. I want to invite you to open your Bibles to Isaiah 42. Isaiah chapter 42, we're going to think about the global mission of Christ today, and I want us to think about our part of that mission. Jesus came to earth on mission from the Father, and that mission is something that we celebrate in the Christmas season. We celebrate with his birth, but we also think about it a little bit more as we gather around at Easter time, and we think about not just his birth, but also his death, his burial, and his resurrection. This time of Thanksgiving and Christmas, kind of this bridge Sunday that happens, reminds us to be grateful for all the things that we have, but certainly for our salvation and the message that continues to move forward through history. But going back once again to hundreds of years before the birth of our Savior, we hear the words of the prophet Isaiah. Now, let me just kind of set the stage for today. In the book of Isaiah, there are what are called servant songs. Servant songs. They're not songs necessarily that we're going to sing, but they are poetic passages about the servant of the Lord. They describe the mission of God's servant, his character, his suffering, and his ultimate triumph. In Isaiah's context, the servant that this mission finds expression in, really at first would be for those people living in Isaiah's day, would be the people of Israel, the people of their land, of Israel, Judah. But it appears to, while it appears to initially identify Israel in that regard, that ultimately points us, though, to the true servant. It's prophecy, so it's looking ahead to the coming servant of the Lord. And as we're going to see, these verses that we're going to look at today very clearly speak of the Messiah, who we know to be the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I want to share with you the four servant songs in Isaiah, just so you can have them. We have the chosen servant, and that's in Isaiah chapter 42 that we're going to look at today. Then you have the mission of the servant, and that is found in Isaiah 49. Those verses, those chapters are not up there for those of you taking notes, so I'll say it kind of slowly. So the first one, the chosen servant, is Isaiah 42. The second is the mission of the servant, Isaiah 49. The third is the obedient servant. The obedient servant, and that's Isaiah chapter 50. And then the last is the suffering servant. and that is Isaiah 53. So let me just give you those four chapters again. So they're Isaiah 42, Isaiah 49, Isaiah 50, and Isaiah 53. These are the four servant songs in Isaiah. Now, for our time here on Sunday mornings, we're only going to look at the first one today, and then we're going to look at the last one next week. But I want you to be aware of all four of them for your own personal Bible study. Now, today we see that first servant song, and as I mentioned, next week we'll see the fourth. But this passage is especially relevant to God's people who were in exile. You remember we talked a little bit about that last week, how Isaiah is prophesying ahead to this time that the people were going to be in exile, and they were weary, they were broken, and they were uncertain about God's plan. And so Isaiah speaks of a coming servant. And this servant would bring justice and restoration and would bring light. But here's what's beautiful. It's not only justice and restoration and light to Israel, but it is for all the nations. Now, last week's message was on the comfort of God. We saw that in Isaiah chapter 40. This chapter is in the same flow of that thought process, the same flow of those ideas. And this promise of justice and restoration and light to the nations is part of that comfort that God brings. Judah's kings, the southern kingdom of Judah, Judah's kings had failed. We've seen that in previous weeks. Ahaz was faithless, and Hezekiah, although he was a good king, faltered. And the nation longed for a righteous leader. They longed for the true king. And they needed a king who was true and trustworthy, who was going to do what is right. And so now in these servant songs, they're promised that type of king. The king is described in these servant songs, and they're promised this type of king. This servant is portrayed as opposite of worldly rulers. He's gentle. He's just. He's divinely empowered. So today, as we think about the nations, and we think about the message of the gospel going around the world, as we step into this giving season of the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, we want to see how the servant, Jesus, is building his kingdom, and how people like you and me, people like us, just out here in Carrollton, Texas today, can be a part of this global, worldwide mission of the good news going around the world. So once again, let me give my regular Isaiah reminder. Here it is. Stay with me. All right? Don't go dropping out on me here. Don't go working on the Christmas list today. All right? Stay with me today. There's really good stuff that's here in Isaiah 42. Begins with the chosen servant's character. The chosen servant's character. Isaiah speaks of a day in which he lived, but he also speaks of the future. He's a prophet. He's spoken about the Messiah over and over again. We've seen that already many times. And although the people at the time did not know his name, we know it is Jesus. They knew the Messiah was coming. The prophet foretold of the Messiah, of his character, of his mission. Verse 1 of chapter 42. Here is my servant whom I uphold, my chosen one in whom I delight. I will put my spirit on him, and he will bring justice to the nations. He will not shout or cry out or raise his voice in the streets. A bruised reed he will not break, and a smoldering wick he will not snuff out. In faithfulness he will bring forth justice. He will not falter or be discouraged till he establishes justice on earth. In his law, the islands will put their hope. So the gospels explicitly tie Jesus to this servant prophecy. We're not going to read it right now, but you can go back and read Matthew chapter 12, verses 18 to 21, where Matthew quotes the verses I just read as he is talking about Jesus. And it shows Jesus' gentle yet global mission. So when we see the work of this servant, and we know that this is prophecy, we see it for that time of Isaiah's time, but as Matthew confirms, it is Jesus that we're talking about. whether it's Jesus expressly mentioned in the Gospel of Matthew or it's Jesus referred to as the Messiah in Isaiah, it's all Jesus. Now, verse 1 tells us that this is the servant of the Lord. God is speaking through his prophet here in the text, and God is saying that he is offering his servant, my chosen one, in whom I delight. So when you see that phrase, when you hear that phrase, if it kind of sounds familiar to your ears, then you're right on track. In whom I delight is what the Father says of the Son when Jesus is baptized in Matthew chapter 3, verse 17. So you see these Old Testament echoes that show up so often in the New Testament, and here's another one. This servant, Jesus, is who God has chosen, God has upheld, and his spirit, what? Rests upon him. Yet another baptism reference that we see there. Then look at the next words there in verse 1. He will bring justice to the nations. Justice is a key word. In fact, if you look in your Bible, if you look at those verses that we read, justice is in each of the first three verses. It's referenced in some way in the first three verses. Justice would define this servant, this Messiah. And justice is a rich word. It's more than just doing the right thing. It's more than judicial equity. That's what we think of when we think of justice. But the biblical word for justice is a lot more rich than that. It's the idea of a better life and a better world. It's human society as God would want human society to be. God didn't design our world to be filled with injustice. It's not designed to be a place of poverty and oppression and brute force. Rather, it's a world of order and truth. It is a life-giving society. And so this Messiah is going to bring salvation. But as part of that salvation, he's bringing perfect justice. And that justice is not just for one group of people. This is justice where? To the nations. Till all the world hears and knows the message of the Messiah so that the character of this Messiah can go forth and bring forth this justice. But look at how this justice is going to be brought forth. It is brought forth with gentleness. It's not with shouting and yelling, verse 2 says, but with compassion. We serve a God of compassion. He says that, talks about how, we are a bruised reed. You ever felt like you were hanging on by a slender green strand? We are a smoldering wick about to burn out. We live in a sin-cursed world with human frailties. And while there are evil empires and people of the world who want to crush others, this servant, this Messiah will show tenderness and compassion, and he will continue his mission until he establishes justice on the earth. I love this simple picture of Jesus that is at the same time very complex. I mean, Jesus embodies both compassion and perseverance. As we think about the mission of this Christmas season that we celebrate, we think about this world that is a world of injustice. So many of the carols that we sing make references to the brokenness of our world and the injustice in our world. And just like it was back then, so it is today. Many people are hanging on by a thread, people whose flame is barely there. And yet we have a Messiah who comes in compassion and mercy. I love that word, compassion. He ministers to us in compassion. But this is a Messiah who also comes on a mission. So we see the chosen servant's mission beginning in verse 5. Remember, stay with me. This is what the Lord God says. He who created the heavens and stretched them out, who spread out the earth and all that comes out of it, who gives breath to its people and life to those who walk on it. So in these verses, God the Father speaks to his servant. And verse 5 declares the greatness of who God is. We saw that back in chapter 40 just in a beautiful way. But we're reminded again, he is the creator. He's the giver of life. He is the Lord of all. Those words are not just something that God has on his resume if he ever tries to get a job. This is who he is. This servant and this Messiah is not going to bring some new order of things, but he is going to restore and renew God's creative design. In other words, like in chapter 40, there is no one who is like our God. He creates us, he loves us, and he is renewing us day by day. And he does so through this servant, the one we know to be the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we see this servant's mission. Look in verse 6, if you would. I, the Lord, have called you in righteousness. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you and make you to be a covenant for the people and a light for the Gentiles, to open eyes that are blind, to free captives from prison, and to release from the dungeon those who sit in darkness. Again, God the Father is speaking to his servant, his son, the Lord Jesus. And the Lord says that his servant has been called in righteousness. We've seen that word righteousness over and over again. The triune God, as we saw way back in chapter 6, is holy, holy, holy. All that God does, all the Lord does, is done and complete in total holiness and in righteousness. And this servant is going to be empowered by God. I will take hold of your hand. I will keep you. And then look at that great phrase, I will make you a covenant. I will make you to be a covenant for the people. So this chosen servant is the new covenant. A biblical covenant is a sacred binding agreement between God and human beings. And this type of covenant, a covenant between God and man, is always established by God. We don't establish covenants with God. God establishes covenants with us. And oftentimes they are confirmed by promises, by obligations, by signs. It's more than a simple contract. A covenant has relationship all through it. It's a relational bond. And it reflects God's initiative. It reflects God's faithfulness. It reflects God's purpose for his people. And so Jesus comes to earth as the new covenant. He's the mediator of a better covenant than the one with Moses. The book of Hebrews, chapter 8, verse 6. But the ministry Jesus has received is as superior to theirs as the covenant of which he is mediator is superior to the old one, and it is founded on better promises. Jesus is the new covenant, promised here in the book of Isaiah. But it's not just a covenant for the Jewish people. I will make you, it says, a light for the Gentiles. The people of Israel often thought of God's work as for us. The Jewish people thought of the work of God in their lives as for us. But what Isaiah does is he shatters the narrowness of that thinking. The servant is a light for the nations. And those nations represent Jewish people, but as we know, it represents mostly non-Jewish people, Gentiles. Our church here at the Fields, we have a calling. We have a calling. And part of our calling is to bring the gospel to neighbors and nations. To bring the gospel to neighbors and nations. Now, all around us, we know there are neighbors. But we also know that all around us are the nations as well. God has placed the nations around us. We live in an area, the Metroplex is an area of the world where many people from many parts of the world come. And the Bible teaches us that we are to go to our neighbors and the nations. We know that the nations are here, but we also know that the nations are all around this world. The Lottie Moon Christmas offering is one of the ways that we do that. 100% of the money that is given every year to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering supports missionaries serving around the world. You remember last year? Last year, our church gave north of $300,000 to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And we, by giving to that offering, we partnered with churches all across North America who participate in this offering. And that money is then collected and distributed to help to support these missionaries who are serving around the world. Now, I want to share with you some of the results of what happened last year. Now, when you came in today, did you receive the Lottie Moon card? Great. When you leave today, you're going to receive the Lottie Moon card. It's got some information on there about that. They asked me when to distribute it. I said at the end of the service. I just recently remembered that. But let me share with you just a few of the statistics from last year's offering. This is provided by the International Mission Board. 1.6 million people heard a partial or full gospel presentation. Almost 800,000 people heard a full gospel presentation and had an opportunity to respond. 144,000, almost 145,000 people gave their life to Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. And 68,628 people were baptized. Now, I want you to understand something about those statistics that are important to understand. These missionaries who are serving are not serving in Plano. They're not serving in the United States. In fact, there's been a shift that has happened among the International Mission Board missionaries over the past several years. And most of the missionaries that we support are in countries where Christians are by far the minority. In many of the countries, it's less than 1%. Many of the countries they are working in and sharing the gospel in are countries that are closed to Christian missionaries, but they serve in a platform that allows them to be able to be present in that country. So when you see the numbers, you need to understand that every one of those numbers was hard-fought spiritual warfare. So, when you give to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, you are making a difference in a country where many of them, many of those countries, many of those places those missionaries are serving are what we would call closed countries. And yet, God is using the resources of his generous people to support the message of Christ in dark places in closed countries. The mission of this chosen servant is at work some 2,700 years after these words were written. And that is why we as a church today unashamedly call people to give generously to the work of the church through the budget, because we support missionaries through the budget, but also to support the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. And giving to this offering is who we are as a church. It's what we do. It's a part of our DNA. At our very first church meeting, December the 16th, 1909, the church collected an offering for missions. It is who we are as a church to do this. And Jesus calls us to be on mission with him. And here we are, 700 years before his birth, hearing about the mission of the Messiah, and here we are today in 2025, partakers of that mission. And Jesus commissioned us in Matthew 28 to go out and to reach people for Christ and to teach people the good news of the gospel and how they can be his disciples. And so like the chosen servant of Isaiah 42, we share in his calling. Our calling is to be spirit-filled, to be spirit-empowered, to give generously, and to share the light of Christ in dark places all around the world. Now, I want you to see the chosen servant's guarantee, because God guarantees to finish what he starts. Now, we know that God is always starting something new. Look in verse 8. I am the Lord, that is my name. I will not give my glory to another or my praise to idols. See, the former things have taken place, but new things I declare. Before they spring into being, I announce them to you. Our God is the one true God. We're going to see that next year when we're going to talk about the Ten Commandments in the early part of next year. And we're going to see how he is the one true God. His chosen servant, the Lord Jesus Christ, is the one true Messiah. His Holy Spirit is the only spirit that is divine. He is the Lord. That is his name. In verse 8, the word Lord there, that is God's covenant name. There's the word covenant again. His covenant name, Yahweh. It is his name of self-revelation. It is covenantal, used of speaking of his relationship to his people. And he says, I will not share my glory with anyone else. No false idols in the ancient world. No false idols in the 21st century. He will not share his glory with us or with anyone else. He alone is God. He cannot and will not share his position with anyone. And because of who he is, the Lord is always working, always moving. We see that here in his chosen servant. And yet we know that it didn't stop in Isaiah 42, but we know that it goes all the way to Bethlehem. It goes all the way to the cross. It goes to the empty tomb, and it goes to his second coming. God's work is new. God's work is active. God's work is unstoppable. And because we believe that God is always doing something new, we want people who are not yet worshipers of this God, people around the world who do not know the message of Christ, we want them to become worshipers. We do not share the gospel. We talked about this last week. We do not share the gospel only to keep people out of hell. We share the gospel because we want more people to come to know God, to be in relationship with God, so that more people can see his new works that he is doing, and ultimately, so they will worship for all of eternity the one true God. We are on mission. We are partnering with other churches through the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, all so people can know the Savior, know the Son, that they might be saved, come to faith in Christ, and become worshipers of the one true God, proclaiming the glory that God declares to the nation. Global missions rest on God's unchanging glory and promises, and yet at the same time, he is always doing something new. The servant's mission was God's way of showing his glory to the ends of the earth. And there is no idol, there is no equal who can rival him. So what's the response? How do we respond to all of that? We respond with praise and promises. Praise and promises. Let me just show you a couple of verses as we close. First, we see praise. Look in verse 10. Sing to the Lord a new song. His praise from the ends of the earth, you who go down to the sea and all that is in it, you islands and all who live in them. We talked about how missions is calling out new worshipers. Isaiah is calling for the whole world to worship the Lord. You know, I love our worship services. I do. I love our worship services. And I got to tell you, though, one of the reasons that I love our worship services here at the Fields that may not be a reason you thought of, all right? One of the reasons that I love our worship services in both rooms, all four services every single Sunday, is because they are advertised. Told you you hadn't thought of that. They're on social media. They're on our webpage. They're on lots of platforms out there. We do not perform private worship services. All of our services are public. Why? Because we want the whole world to come and worship the Lord. Everyone from the four corners of the globe, whatever that means, we want all of them to be worshipers. The Bible tells us that not only we should worship, but the nations should worship. So we put our services out there so the nations can worship with us. And every week, people from all over this globe are worshiping with us. There's probably some watching right now. The Bible tells us to sing a new song. We like old songs. We like oldies. We like those songs that speak to our heart. But new songs are good too. Every old song you sing was a new song at one point. We like old songs, but those new songs speak to us as well. And they remind us that we serve a God who is our help in ages past, but who is also our hope for years to come. And just like God spoke to Fanny Crosby and some of the people we like to sing way back when, he's speaking to songwriters today. So we should sing all those songs because we believe in a God who wants us to worship him, and we are on mission to bring more people in to praising him. Sing to the Lord a new song, the Bible says. Well, then we see the promises. This prophecy that we looked at just keeps rolling. We're not going to read all these verses here in chapter 42, but look at chapter 43 real quick, verse 1. But now, this is what the Lord says. He who created you, O Jacob, he who formed you, O Israel, fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have summoned you by name. You are mine. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And when you pass through the rivers, they will not sweep over you. When you walk through the fire, you will not be burned. The flames will not set you ablaze, for I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. So here we see these promises that are made by God to Israel, but those promises continue. Why? Because God is consistent. And these promises are consistent with who our God is. These are the types of promises we see all throughout the New Testament. So claim these promises in your life. God promises to be with you. God says, I've redeemed you. That is, I have bought you back from sin. God says, I call you by name. He declares that you belong to him. And whether you're going through hell or high water, he is with you. In the rivers, in the floods, in the fire, in the attacks of the enemy, God is with you. So let's make sure that we are with him. Meaning, let's stay on mission with what we've been called to do with this chosen servant. Let's do what he tells us to do, what he calls us to do. Let's give like we've never given before to the Lottie Moon Christmas offering. Let's share our faith. Let's invite people to come this next weekend to the concerts that we're going to have all weekend long where the message of the gospel is going to be proclaimed. Let's leverage the Christmas season to be people who are his ambassadors, his witnesses, and invite people to come. Jesus has come to earth as God's chosen servant. And Jesus is calling us to be on mission with him. And you may not be a pastor, you may not work at a church, but we are all called to the same mission, to share the message of Christ around the world. And there are over 5,000 people who are missionaries with the International Mission Board who sat in seats just like you have. And they heard the call to pick up their family, to leave their jobs, to go live in a foreign land, to not be home for most Thanksgivings and Christmases and birthdays and those kinds of things. Because they wanted the nations to hear the good news of the gospel. Why in the world would we not give to support people who are willing to go and do that? Would you bow your head with me today? Today we've come to this time of decision. If you've come here today and you've not ever placed your faith in Christ as your Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you to do so today. I want to encourage you to give your life to Jesus. Out here on the commons, we have a glassed-in room, and I want to invite you to go to that room and give your life to Christ today. We have ministers who are inside that room waiting to talk to you right now. They want to visit with you about how you can receive Christ as Savior. Don't be afraid to go in there. Yes, you have to take a step of faith to walk in there. And sometimes that step of faith requires courage, but don't be afraid. Great people in there. They want to talk to you about giving your life to Christ. So I want to encourage you to go and give your life to Jesus today. Go give your life to Christ today. It's the greatest decision you can make. I say that over and over again, but I can't think any better way of saying it. It's the greatest decision of your life. Jesus came on mission to live the perfect life, to die on the cross in order that you might be a child of God. Not creation of God, we're all God's creation, but to be a child of God. And if you've never experienced that in your life and you've never known what it means to receive Christ as your Lord and Savior, hey, today is a great day to go give your life to Christ. That makes you in right standing with God. Your sin, all your sin, past, present, and future, is forgiven. You become a child of God. You're promised that heaven is your home. If you're trying to get to heaven by doing good deeds and being a good person, there is not a single place in the Bible that teaches that. So just don't believe that. I mean, you can look for yourself. The Bible says that the only way is through faith in Christ. And if you've never placed your faith in Christ, never received him as your Lord and Savior, hey, just go to that room. You say, well, it's, man, I got my here with family. It's the holidays. Hey, they'll wait on you. We're not going to keep you long. But that decision is a long decision. It's an eternal decision. So don't put it off for another time. Don't say, I'll do it next week or I'll think about it. Hey, go. Let us visit with you and talk with you about giving your life to Christ today. If you've never done so, today is the day to go. It takes a step of faith on your part to walk in. But you will only find a God of love and forgiveness and compassion. So take that step of faith. Maybe today is the day you want to recommit your life to the Lord. I invite you to do that. Maybe today is the day you want to join our church. Maybe you want to commit to be baptized. We'll be baptizing in the coming weeks. Maybe you feel God's call on your life to ministry or to missions. I invite you to go and do. Maybe now is a good time to be saying, Lord, what would you have us do? What would you have our family do? How would you have us give? Our family's already given this weekend to Lottie Moon. I encourage you to give to Lottie Moon. Maybe it's say, Lord, what would you have me do? What is my part? Maybe you're here today and you don't know what you need. You just know you need help. You need prayer. You need to talk to somebody. We've got deacons and others who are in our Connect room today and they want to visit with you. They want to talk with you. So I want to ask you, will you take a step of faith today? Will you do what God's leading you to do? I pray that your answer will be, yes, Lord. Would you quietly stand where you are as I pray? Thank you, God, for our time together today. Thank you for your holy word that speaks to us so clearly. God, help us. Help us, oh God, to understand the mission of Christ and to be on mission. Lord, help us to give generously to this offering that's so vital to supporting these missionaries on the field. God, help us to be a part of advancing your kingdom for your name and your glory and your renown. God, I thank you that you're a God of mercy, love, compassion, forgiveness, and grace. And you call on us, oh God, to be a part of your work, your mission, your kingdom. So God, we pray that your kingdom would come and your will would be done in Carrollton as it is in heaven. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen.